The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission on your mind. He is Michael Coleman, CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We do a little show here about business. It started off as a kind of a non-profit thing. We do do another show called Bite by Bite, which is specific to the needs of course, the Feeding America and Heart of Alabama Food Bank, which you can hear right here on our host of Tony Curry Radio Stations right after the show. It's a little shorter program, but today we're going to be talking about something I know is near and dear to your heart. I know a lot of people are kind of hoping they just die off before it takes over the world, particularly if their job is being infringed upon by AI. And listen, it's here. It's not going away. It's moving super fast. I saw something on 60 Minutes. There was a show on it. The guy who works, I guess, for Google's AI generative services and stuff was just talking about, you know, just how fast within the next 5 or 10 years, robots, the whole nine yards. And I mean, it's the future is here. Okay. Forget about flying cars. All right. We've got that. But just right off the top, your initial thoughts, because I know you use it almost every single day. You like to throw things. You've actually thrown me a couple things for my job. It's just amazing because now whenever you get on Google, if you just pull up Google and you say, and you ask it a question, it's all AI generated. It's all, and just a year ago, it was not. And it's giving me, by the way. So for example, this past Wednesday, I take my son out to look at the tornado sirens, which are supposed to go off the first Wednesday of the month in the state of Alabama. And he's asking me, well, ask blah, 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 blah. And I said, your questions are too specific, honey. I said, I can't. And he goes, just do it. And I did it. And sure enough, the question wasn't too specific. And I even said, okay, the siren that's in Greystone Farms, when does that thing go off? And it generated an answer that was from a new publication that just came out last week that they're not doing it the second Wednesday every month and not the first Wednesday because we're out there waiting for this thing to go off and it never did. And I said, there you go. There's your answer. And so we're going to be back out there this next Wednesday. It's just amazing. And again, it's infringed upon everything that's already out there. It's not perfect, but the more it's used, the smarter it gets,
the better it gets.
And and that's the scary part because you just got more information out there that's helped generating that. But just talk about that first of all. And then we want to talk about the jobs. And I have to chuckle because I'm looking at the top 10 least affected occupations and they're pretty much like, yeah, no shit. That makes sense. But the ones that are most affected are really, really interesting. But just kind of give us a general view of what your thoughts on AI. And I don't want people to think that if you're in college right now and you got a couple of years under your belt, you better start paying attention.
Oh, 100%. So a couple of things I'll throw your way. To illustrate for people how it is such a productivity tool like no other. And so I'll give you a quick example. So I did a survey. One of the requirements in our Feeding America contract is there's specific things our board has to do. And one is a board assessment every 2 years, and one's a board self-assessment. So the individuals have to assess themselves, and then another assessment that assesses the whole board. So I put those together. We tried to make it very easy. So I just sent them out as like surveys so they can just click in and answer some questions, hit submit, and it's all recording the information. Well, it's done through Microsoft, so it all downloads into an Excel file. So, you know, let's say I've asked it 20 questions and I'm asking it among 30 people. That's a lot of data to individually manage, especially when you're trying to get trends. Like, yeah, one person says this isn't working, but one person doesn't determine a trend. So I downloaded the files. I didn't even look at them. I downloaded the files. I went to ChatGPT. I uploaded the file very easily. And I said, analyze this document for trends 5 seconds later, it printed out all the trends. X percentage of people feel this. X percentage feel this. Good. And it said positive trends, negative trends. Then it would say, do you want me to prepare this in a presentation style? I can do a PowerPoint or a PDF or whatever. And I can say, yeah, create a booklet for me. And it says analyze, boom, there it is. Now, that would probably be a 4-hour function to take those two sets of data uninterrupted and just looking through every single answer, highlighting things, going back, trying to recalculate it. But no, it put it in, it did an analysis and spit it all out in a matter of seconds. Our Bloomerang, we use the company Bloomerang for our database management system. And we like the system, but lots of times there's features that maybe you don't use all the time. And so usually anytime there's something new you're trying to do or create a specialized report, you have to go in and try to figure it out. You can spend an hour there just trying to figure out how do you do it? Or you can call, set up a time to meet with Bloomerang. And this is the specificity you're talking about. So I said, I need to know how to create a report for new donors from this month that give a minimum of this. I mean, very, very, and then boom, it spits it out step by step how to do it. So by the time it would have taken me to figure out how to do that, I've already printed it and I've already worked with the data. Mm-hmm. I mean, this kind of the game changing quickness and speed. And it's good that you say the specificity because, you know, just this morning I was bringing a guy in to work. I mean, a guy in that I know in the community. And I'm like, you know what? I really want to make some challenging questions, some scenario driven, you know. So I said, I have a young executive coming in to discuss a potential position doing these things. I need to know if he can handle stress. Can he work independently? I just typed it out, whatever was in my head. Mm-hmm. And it printed me out a very nice chart that said, these are 8 characteristics you want. Here's scenario questions, on and on and on. I mean, everything I want to do in my business, almost, it spits out for me. Now, that's what I'm saying. It's such a game changer. Well, what's the effect of that? Well, as AI grows, like you're talking about, and like this survey points out, you're going to be able to do a lot of things that normally you would have to hire an assistant for. Or if I'm a development director, maybe I would have to have somebody. You still have to have people who physically go out in the community and talk. But all the data stuff, all the know-how, all that kind of lower level employment, lots of times you can hire. Now you can be much more productive with a system that's at your fingertips whenever you're ready to discuss these things. And what's so interesting, when I sent you this top 40 most affected occupations by generative AI, it's a lot of things that, you know, of intellectual, particularly intellectual ability, like mathematics instructors, political scientists, technical writers, historians, interpreters, and translators, on and on and on. Now, I'm fixing it. This just popped in my head. I want to judge it. So this morning, we had a Rotary meeting this morning. And Faulkner University, which is a local university in Montgomery, came. And the president, I've known the president for about 15 years. He came to do a presentation on all the great stuff they're doing. What was so interesting was he brought a new guy named Tommy Lee Washington. And Tommy Lee Washington was a senior graphics designer and worked 30 years for ESPN. So the SEC channel on ESPN, all the graphics, he led the effort on all of that. Oh. Well, now he's at Faulkner. Mm-hmm. And he's bringing about a master's program or professional programs in graphic television, media production, all that kind of stuff. Every one of his classes, he starts with, here's how you do it. But every single class, he incorporates AI with it. Because he said, if they don't, they're already behind the power curve when they start doing it. Because everybody, and he used an example, he said, what if I, and he just took this image. He said, I want to see this image on a milk carton sitting on a shelf of a grocery store. 5 seconds later, you have the image. Think about what a marketing team would have normally had to do if somebody calls up and says, hey, I want to do a milk carton campaign. You know, the old milk carton where they had missing children.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, they post that. I don't know if all of our audience, depending on how old they are, will remember that. But if you wanted to do that, have a milk carton campaign, and you're like, well, what would it look like? What would the shape need to be? And for you to just type it in and create an image, sometimes that would take, if you called a marketing company, they'd send you maybe 3 or 4 different proofs, but it could take them a week to put it all together.
Yeah.
And now it's all at your fingertips in a matter of seconds. That's the impact. So if you're in graphic design, if you're in whatever, I mean, the question is, do I need a graphic design degree? Maybe, you know, there's some things that I need to know about underneath AI, but if I'm just a single person in a nonprofit and I'm like, I can't get good graphics, I can't do, it's all right there. You don't have to know anything about graphic design. You tell it what you need and it produces it. And it's just a world that a lot of people are adapting to. And for me, I'm continually blown away at what I'm able to do that before I would have spent hours or even days working at, but I'm plowing through stuff with productivity levels that are just off the chain.
You're throwing AI at everything, aren't you?
Everything. I mean, yeah. Seriously, yeah. The very first thing I do, if I don't know it right off the top of my head, the very first place I go is ChatGPT, and I say, here's what I want to do. And even if I have an idea and I'm like, you know what? I want to reformat, or I want to look at a whole department. Maybe I want to, maybe a department, let's say my development department. Maybe I don't think my development department's working for me. It is, but let's say I don't. I could go in there and say, okay, I have this size food bank covering this many counties. I mean, getting the specifics. What marketing elements do I need? What's the best way to break apart, you know, all the functions of a nonprofit development department and then put a substructure underneath, like identify all the individual tasks that you're assigning to this department. And again, just a matter of seconds. It's such a game changer. I couldn't help but think about taking this to modern day politics. You know, Trump fired the statistician who puts together the numbers.
Yeah.
And everybody's saying the same thing. Everybody's like, well, if you're firing them because they're giving you bad news, that's not good.
Yeah.
If you're firing them because they're not accurately reporting the numbers in a timely way, and that's more of a performance issue, then okay, I get it. But you can't do it because somebody's giving, because you want the country and other governments to trust what those numbers are saying.
Well, yeah, it's like firing someone for not cooking the books.
That's right. That's right. So we don't know. It depends on who you talk to. We don't yet fully know. I mean, more will come out later exactly what the issues were. I'm so sorry. I sat right there and I was going right down that pathway and I completely lost my thought. It's going to jump back on me. Just a second.
No, it's okay. And I, 'cause I wanted to back up just a little bit because, Your least effective occupations are obviously things that you need a human for. It was funny because I just mentioned to you that we were out looking at tornado sirens. We were also looking at trains, and a little did I realize that the majority of the trains where I see these trains are all RCs. They're all remote control. I never realized that something that weighs 366,000 pounds pulling 200 cars could actually be radio controlled. There was no person in the train. I was like waving and trying to get him to honk the horn. There was nobody in there. Which is crazy.
I just remember.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where my mind was. Mm-hmm. The whole thing about losing jobs. So in the past, we analyzed the economy. Lots of times we do government jobs, how many lost, how many gained. Same thing with private sector, manufacturing. We look at different sectors. So we look at the private sector, but then we look at all the different sectors, both within government and private institutions. And lots of times there's lately, the last few months, they're saying, well, the private sector is not producing as many new jobs as may be anticipated. And so I hear a lot of people talking about, well, you know, it could be the tariffs. People are scared to spend money, you know, and typical explanations. I think what they're going to find is a lot like Microsoft. I think Microsoft fired 9,000 people, and it wasn't that they didn't need those functions, at least some of them, as I think AI started doing the function of that employee. And AI is not late. AI is not moody. AI doesn't complain about their wages or their work environment. You know, AI is just there, and it gives you something quick. And I think what you're going to see is, at least to some degree, some people like myself. I mean, if I not fire people, but if I could replace positions just by increasing productivity in other ways, I would certainly look at that. And every sector is going to be looking at that. So I think you're going to see at least a dip. I'm not saying a negative feature. You're going to see a dip in what would otherwise have been produced because you're not going to need as many people in the workforce to do some of those things that now AI can do. And it's just going to become ubiquitous to where the average Joe, like you said, right now, when you put something in Google, we're both used to the old Google. Mm-hmm. And the very first thing that comes up now is the generative AI. Once everybody gets used to that and that becomes the norm, then you're going to see productivity in industry and stuff shoot through the roof, but you're also going to see a lot of jobs that go by the wayside. And everybody's going to ask this question first. Can we get AI to do this position before, you know, we'd rather invest in the technology and move forward than typically invest in the individual.
Much like the, skill set jobs, I guess, back in the 70s and 80s, we were talking about robotics and like we're going to teach these robots how to take our jobs away on the audio lines and everything else. And I guess to an extent that did happen a little bit. You're talking about dredge operators, bridge lock tenders, very specific, obviously, jobs, water treatment plant system operators, rail track laying, pile drivers, floor sanders, orderlies, motorboat operators, and logging equipment operators. These are all people that obviously you have to have some brawn, you have to have some skill. I guess you could teach AI how to do all of these jobs. I mean, if you go to San Francisco right now, and I saw a story, roughly 33% of all the crane operators out there in San Francisco are right now being run by RC. And you would think to yourself, there's got to be someone operating this crane, right? There's got to be someone loading up these ships, but it's all done strategically because they know where the buys all the boxes are, where they're supposed to be. The crates are the containers, then they're going to get on the right ship.
Well, think about this. I mean, this has been going on for, I've seen, this was over a decade ago. I mean, it could have been 15, 20 years ago when GPS, and Clinton was the first one that legalized the GPS or outside of the military, made it available. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's all the kind of stuff we take for granted. It was really a commercial boom to be able to do that. Because without being able to have commercial satellites and GPS and all that kind of stuff, you know, we wouldn't have the Googles today and the street maps and all the things that everybody knows. That was a huge game changer along with this. So you could see them conceivably. I look at, well, yeah, somebody's got to do railroad ties and somebody's got to do street repairs. And as but they can build a machine that can see the railroad, can go and test each spike or test each, you know, railhead. Just like right now, you remember when the Roomba first came out? Oh, it was like, oh, an automated vacuum, and it would bump into something that comes out and it turns. But now they have them where they map your whole room for you.
I got one in the kitchen.
Yep. So they're mapping it for you. And so they know exactly where it's been, where it's going. It's not just, so you see that type of advancement. Well, just think about it. I saw, because I love this kind of stuff. I see so much of this kind of stuff because I love it. It was one truck driver, and I want to say it was either in Sweden or Denmark, somewhere in the Nordic countries. It was a road repair. And so big truck, it was almost like what we would look like a garbage truck. Mm-hmm. And it would drive and it would come to the pothole in the road. And it would, an arm would extend out and it would sweep or vacuum or move all the any loose debris. And then another element came and it spit asphalt in it. And then the third one, it mashed it down. And the truck went zzz. Now, how many times have you and I been riding down the road? You got two guys on the pothole and four guys standing around guiding traffic or watching traffic.
Sure.
Yeah. But now that's not exactly AI, but we already have self-driving vehicles. You know, out in California, especially, they have a lot of self-driving Teslas and taxis and everything else. So if you begin to see what could happen is self-driving, automated trucks, it would just be going down the road without a driver, analyze, see a pothole, fix it, move on. I mean, it's really a George Jetson world.
Yeah.
That we're getting into. And the whole reason we're talking about this, not that it's just really cool, but look, I'm an old man. I mean, me and you, we're past our prime. We're just using it to help us right now.
Yeah.
But if I'm 25 years old and I'm in graphic design, or if I'm 25 years old and I'm in one of these, if I'm a historian or a mathematician or, you know, a telephone operator, even a radio DJ. I mean, those things are just going to be gone because you can't even tell right now. I saw a video of y'all, you know, the Sweeney commercial about the jeans, yeah. You know, the controversy surrounding that.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody knows it. What's her name? I'm drawing a blank. Sweeney is her last name. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. So they have Melania Trump in dress, exact open top, denim, tight jeans on. And she says, I like my jeans. And she turns around and walks away. And somebody said, God, tell me this isn't AI. but it was something, but you couldn't tell. I mean, just because we know it exists. But if somebody would have showed me that 2 years ago, I said, no, I saw the video. It is her. And that's how that you can just do these incredible things. And now these are not specialists. These are people at home coming up with this stuff, using open market stuff that they have free items. And so I get excited because I think it makes a lot of people better. If I were young, I would be really concerned. I mean, there's security. There's all sorts of negative security issues. People could create a video and say, oh, here's Michael. walking around naked downtown drunk. I mean, somebody could create a, you know, that kind of video and show that. And this probably going to be AI, by the way, if you ever see something like that. It's 50% chance.
Is something you want to tell us on the show today?
Yeah. Well, if anything comes out in the public, I'll address it then.
Yeah.
But you really need to understand that colleges are incorporating it. And this is just the infancy of it. And we're seeing the kind of levels of productivity jumping. We're going to get to the point to where it's going to be a world, for better or for worse, that we can't even tell what's truth and what's fiction.
And unfortunately,
and that's scary.
Unfortunately, the old man on the front porch comes out of me on a lot of this, because I know that there's going to be use of this technology to take down many good things, much like hackers on Facebook and everything else. And it's unfortunate because they're already doing it. There's already people using it. How can we use this to steal, lie and cheat our way through an easier way of life? And that's already happening. So interesting stuff. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. If you got any questions or any comments on that, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Get on it. I know you're into it. I know you've tried to get me into it. I do look at it. It's a pretty amazing thing. And I would just hope that, you know, we used to be able to go ahead and spend $5-$10 on a guy down the hallway to write our thesis, you know, our senior thesis. This feels a little like that. I've talked to my son who's going to Clemson, and he's like, "Dad, I could get a picture. I get a paper written like within 10 minutes. All I got to do is put the," and I'm like, how do the, you know, and that doesn't do any good for any of us, because if you're creating this stuff, and none of it's yours. And I actually heard a really good, interesting story on NPR the other day about pastors who are using AI to write their homilies.
Oh yeah, sure.
And
100%.
There's a lot of people don't like that, because that's something that needs to be heartfelt. That needs to be something that's between two individuals, two human beings. And for the most part, I think a lot of people feel like they can tell the difference. But yeah, if you're running a little late and you got 5 minutes and you're bound to be out there after the second reading coming up at 11:30 this morning, why not put something in the computer and see what it says?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
Just kind of scary stuff. Great stuff, my friend. I appreciate you coming up here next, Bite by Bite, right here on Tony Curry Radio. Thank you, man.
All right, guy.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.